Course, is our Free Farm Friday theme song. Feel free to sing along if you know the words.
Green Acres is the place to be.
Farm living is the life for me.
Land spreading out so far and wide.
Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
I got it!
No!
But give me Park Avenue.
The chores.
The stores.
Fresh air.
Times Square.
You are my wife.
Goodbye, city life.
Green Acres, we are there.
Okay, as you may know, all Free Farm Friday episodes are available free of charge to the entire human race. Most of the people that are members of the Crusade Channel don't even know that we have archives. Yes, we do. Well over 2,000 episodes there of the Mike Church Show and the Barrett Brief combined. Over 3,000. You can start listening today, and you will not be done by the end of the year. There are two specific archives. There's a Mike Church Show archive. There's a Free Farm Friday archive. There's also the Gun Talk Friday archive. If you're wondering where we hide that at, it's in plain sight, crusadechannel.com. Mouse over the shows tab, top left, and then wait for that little thing to accordion out. And when it does, select, oh, I forgot, Wisdom Wednesday archive. We have over 200 episodes of Wisdom Wednesday in the archive as well. This episode will also go video and audio into the Free Farm Friday archives. Ross McKnight is the proprietor of, well, I guess because you're married, you're the co-proprietor. As a matter of fact, if I look at the Instagram feed, you don't do anything. The wife does all the work. Ross McKnight is the co-proprietor of, now, the Ducks, you call the actual branding for the Ducks is the foie gras, but that's not what you call your, it's Backwater Farm, right?
It's Backwater Foie Gras, actually.
Yeah. Backwater Foie Gras.
Backwater Foie Gras.
All right. Now, give us a story. Where is the land? How long has it been? Is it in the family? When did you guys start? People want to know the biography of Backwater Foie Gras.
So we're first-generation farmers. The farm is actually located in Bush. I grew up here on the North Shore. But we started the farm in April 2019, and we were on 3/4 of an acre in Covington at that time, but once we discovered that we could, in fact, produce foie gras, that's when we made the jump and purchased some acreage in Bush. We live out there now, and at any given time, you know, there's, I don't know, 1,000 head out there of various livestock, mostly ducks, of course.
1,000 head of, you said various livestock.
Various livestock.
So, what are the other various livestocks?
Sure. So you to have a complete system, you need, you know, diverse species. So we have Gulf Coast native sheep, which are also known as the Louisiana scrub sheep. They're actually on the conservancy list right now. They're critical, but we're trying to bring them back as a viable meat source. And then we have geese, we have chickens.
I have to ask an amateur question. When you say geese, now every time most people think of geese, oh, is it a Canadian goose? Are there geese that are native to the south here, or are they all northern and they just kind of get stuck when they fly over here?
You know, I am not an ornithologist, but as far as breeds that are very well adapted and well accustomed to the south, we have the cotton patch goose, which also kind of went the way of the Gulf Coast native sheep when antibiotics and everything came around for agricultural usage. But they are beautiful, beautiful geese, and they have very close relationship to the wild graylag goose.
Now, when you say, so you already have our Free Farm Friday ears and our spidey senses are already on high alert. When you say when antibiotics and all that stuff came along, so that was a bad thing for the sheep population and for that particular goose, right?
Bad thing for everyone, I think, from an agricultural point of view.
For humans, too.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we started, what happened is heavier breeds of sheep that maybe were quote unquote more productive as far as meat and wool began to be used in the South, but they weren't well adapted to the climate. They weren't well adapted to dealing with parasites. The Louisiana scrub sheep or the Gulf Coast native sheep is like you can't kill it. They're tough.
It's like a kunash. You can't kill us either.
They are like yes, just as rare and beautiful as a kunash.
Now, do you farm you're trying to bring the sheep back, so do you farm them for meat production, or you're just trying to get enough of a herd so that you could make, so you could produce? And is it just for you, or because you have a brand name, you actually sell, we're going to talk about this in a minute, is it just for your family, or are you selling, are you making, are you raising the sheep for others?
It started out for our own family, but we realized that we needed them so dearly to manage our pasture that we acquired some more ram lambs. Actually, just recently, I went over to the Ladner family establishment in Mississippi, and I was standing in their barn built in 1840 talking to them. They've been preserving the Gulf Coast native sheep since 1735. So just a remarkable family, and luckily we have a few breeders who have been preserving the breed, so we're able to get feeder sheep, bring them onto the farm. We're going to finish them out. We'll harvest them in the fall, send them to the processor, and then we'll have them available for sale.
So now, was there a process once you got out on the farm? You said what you figured out in Covington that you could grow you could raise the foie gras. Mm-hmm. But you're not now. Was there a process of, like, what is the life cycle of a duck? We all know what the life cycle of a chicken is. And we even know today now, thanks to the corona doom, we know the difference between a retail chicken and a restaurant chicken. One's raised for 6 weeks, one's raised for 9 weeks or something to that effect. What is the life cycle of the duck? And is there a specific species or series of species that you guys raise?
Certainly. So the duck comes first, and then there's an egg. And then, so
he's a funny guy. Too. You told me you're a humble farmer. You didn't tell me you moonlighted as a comedian.
Oh, I have all the bad jokes. I'm a father. So, right. For a duck that's destined to produce foie gras, that duck's going to live minimum 16 weeks. So this is at least twice as long as a commercial duck. They'll come to us at 2 days old, so we get our ducklings at 2 days old, and then we have them in a brooder, which has warm heat lamps and dry bedding, food and water, of course, until they're old enough to go out on pasture, which is about anywhere between 3 and 5 weeks, depending on the season, depending on the weather. And then they'll be on pasture until 12 weeks. We will go through a process with them called pre-gavage, which is when gavage means stuffing, so it's the feedings that fatten the duck. But pre-gavage is when we feed the ducks in such a manner that causes their esophagus to dilate, which is what would happen when ducks and geese prior to migration start to stuff themselves full of food. And they do this to fatten themselves so that they have plenty of energy stores for their long flights.
To fly.
Correct. So we mimic this process with some environmental factors, and then we bring them into the barns. We fatten them for 4 weeks before slaughter.
This is some incredible knowledge that we're gaining here. Now, talk to the audience, Ross McKnight of Backwater Foie Gras Farms. Talk to the audience, because the first question that I'm going to hear, you didn't ask me, is the fattening of the fattening, when you fatten them, are you fattening them with some grain that you choose, or is it, what's that?
I said I just live to torture animals.
Is it with some grain or something else that you choose, or is it something that's completely natural to them?
So the tradition, well, you know, here's the thing. Pigs and poultry, they're both omnivores, right?
Right.
So ducks, geese, chickens, they can consume all manner of things. You know, ducks will swallow fish whole. They'll swallow crustaceans whole at times. They will eat seed heads, right? So they'll eat grain. We feed them grain to grow them out, a lot of grain, while they're on pasture. So they have a supplement to what they're getting on pasture. And then in gavage, the traditional grain to use is corn, and we use a high-quality non-GMO corn. And then sometimes we add – well, all the time we add olive oil. And then sometimes when we have whey or a clabber or milk from the cow. We'll put that in there. So yeah, it's primarily corn for those last 4 weeks. That's how we finish them. Kind of like you finish a pig, you might finish a pig on corn. So.
All right. And then when, okay, so you said minimum of 16 weeks.
Yeah, generally speaking, minimum 16 weeks of age.
Now, are we harvesting these ducks just for the foie gras, just for the liver? Or you said something about a commercial duck earlier, one of my favorite dishes, if you could get it. I've been to France, okay? What's on the menu in France? Rabbits and ducks. You get a little chicken and a lot of beef. Oh, yeah. You get lots of duck. Hardly had chicken one time, I had duck four times in 10 days. And it's a beautiful, tasty, fat, rich red meat. It's freaking red meat.
Yes.
Are your ducks are served as meat ducks too? Because I see them on the menu at some restaurants, don't
they? Right. So the meat from a duck that's been fattened for foie gras is particularly special. And so what we call the breast, we would call that the magret. And from a duck that's been fattened, I mean, you have this amazing fat cap on top. And then also there's just such amazing flavor development. It eats like a fine steak, I would say, the duck breast. And then, of course, the leg quarters make a beautiful confit. And you can render all of that subcutaneous fat and visceral fat and use that to confit the leg quarters of the self-same duck.
Confit is just I've only had it a couple times. And the reason is, you know this, so I'm telling this to people that are listening. You have to have a high tolerance for rich food because confit is like, this is as rich as it could possibly get. As a matter of fact, my daughter used to work for Osman over at Pardo's, and he would serve duck. Mm-hmm. And it would come in a bowl, and I could never finish that duck breast. There was no way. It was just too, and it was confit. It was too rich. So it's a wonderful meat. We don't eat enough duck. And one of the things is, Ross, is because you go to the grocery store, everyone's growing chickens. See, nobody growing ducks.
Right.
But you grow meat ducks, and you've also been blessed and you've been fortunate. You supply ducks to the biggest restaurant family in all of the state of Louisiana and all the South. That's the Brennan family, right?
Right. You know what's interesting about the Brennans is they're not terribly showy about like where they're getting things or who they're working with, but they just kind of consistently buy quality products, and I think that's why they continue to be successful and have been successful for so long. So yeah, they're the only place that you can eat our Muscovy hens. Yeah, Brennan's restaurant in New Orleans.
When you say now, what's the difference? Okay, Muscovy hen, that's the duck.
That's a duck, yeah. So with a Muscovy, it's well. Here's the thing: a Muscovy is neither a duck nor a goose; it is a Muscovy.
So what is? You're saying, wait a minute. I'm not saying it's a Russian, but it's a Russian duck.
Right.
Is this a Russian duck?
Yeah. It is not a Russian duck. I'm trying to remember the etymology. Actually, at one point, I thought that it referred to the fact that they can catch flies, just snap them right out of the air, but. Yeah, Muscovies are—they're a strange, strange animal. They look like a duck, but the males get to be about the size of a goose. The females about half the size of the males, but they're neither a duck nor a goose. But most commonly, we refer to them as a duck because they share so many characteristics with a duck.
And there's a picture in the chat room. I see you've had Father Metrodon out at your place. Did he bless? Is he doing the blessing? Is that what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, that's my cousin, Father Metrodon.
We love Father Metrodon.
Yeah, I love him too. He's a good man. Yeah, he did. He came out. He did the blessing of poultry, and he walked around. Father Damien also came out lately and did a blessing of all the animals. So
I want to throw up in the chat room. I'm going to show you guys if you missed it the other day. There's a image that was painted. As a matter of fact, I go yesterday to the I go to the Lowe's to go pick. Oh, I forgot to tell my Lowe's story. I go to Lowe's because I'm going to pick an order up that I placed 2 days ago, and they're like, that order hasn't been prepared, sir. You weren't notified. I'm like, it's 2 days ago. And she goes, hold on, let me check on this. And she starts looking into it, and then she goes, oh, good Lord. And, of course, I say, what? And she says, well, the order, they started picking it, but I don't know why they stopped in the middle of it, and it's not ready. And I just, you got to be freaking, you got to be kidding me. So anyway, I'm waiting for her. She goes, look, I'll help. We'll fill it. I said, just give me the sheet. I'll go find it. I'll fill it myself. So while I'm waiting, in walks Norman Foshé. And in walks Norman Foshé, and he's going to walk right past me, and I'm like, "Hey, Norman!" And then he sees me come over, and you know, give us a little manly bear hug, and he tells me his story. He's like, "Dude, what are you here for?" And he turns beet red. And he goes, "I don't even want to say it. It's so embarrassing." I said, "What?" And he goes, "My little son was playing around with our well, and he turned something on. He bled the well dry, and then the pump started running." And he goes, "Anyway, I got to replace the tanks. I'm here to get a new tank." I'm like, "Oh man, that is so funny, dude." So I tell Norman, I think Maggie's going to put it in the chat room. It is. I don't know if you have ever seen this. Speaking to priests doing blessings, can you show Ross on your MacBook? This is a painting by, I forget who did it. It's called the St. Edmund Campion Missal, and it is the blessing of the procession to bless the wheat. And those vestments are particular vestments. It's for the Mass of St. Edmund Campion, and the vestments are all floral. They're not like the vestments that we see Father Damien or Father Ken or Father Metrogen wearing at any time. So I told Norman, I said, "I'm going to send you this picture, dude, because people like him pictures." I said, "We're going to update this for Southeast Louisiana. And we need to have one of these because you can sell hundreds of prints, high quality, nice canvas prints of this. People will love it because we already, amid his churn, I already looked at this going like, I want that hanging up on the wall in my new house. It's so cool." But it just comes to mind when your cousin, Father Metrogen goes out to do the blessing of, what did you call it?
Oh yeah, it's just called the blessing of poultry.
Okay, the blessing of poultry. But whenever we ask a priest out, and it's one of the things that people might find interesting about the Catholic faith, especially our Protestant friends, well, why do you do that? Well, because there's a patron saint, number one, for anything you can grow, there's a patron saint for it. The one-size-fits-all saint is Saint Isidore, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But if you're raising, let's say you're raising, like our beloved little Gracie, we had to put her down a couple of weeks ago, our beloved little Boston. Let's say you're raising Bostons. Saint Rock is your saint. He's the patron saint of canines. Why? Because he thought he was dying of the plague, and he went out in the middle of nowhere, and Norman did a painting of Saint Rock. And everyone that paints St. Rock now paints the dog licking at the little wound on his right. on his leg. So there's a patron saint. Is there a patron saint of the duck? Are you a duck meister? Are you a duck master?
I don't know. Every day we pray to St. Isidore. He's definitely the patron of the farm,
right,
along with St. Joan of Arc. But it's... Yeah, I don't know. Is there a patron saint of ducks or waterfowl? I'd like to know.
Okay, well, if there is, there are expert theologians in our chat room. If there one exists, you'll find out in about a minute.
I can't wait.
All right, so we're Ross McKnight, backwater Foguois, the farm. Up to 100 waterfowl at any given time.
1,000, yeah. Up to 1,000. Yeah.
Up to 1,000. Yeah. So you don't have time to name any of them, do you?
I guess tasty and yummy. you do get affectionate. I had the hardest time slaughtering geese.
Time out.
Dobbs just dropped.
And?
Oh, snap. We'll put the whole thing right now, but they just dropped. It's today.
Oh, I told you. Is it keeping with the draft? Do we know? All right, folks, we're going to have breaking.
By Justice Alito.
That's it! It's over!
Oh, my goodness.
Say the word! I told you people this morning it was going to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my folks. Who's dissenting? I told you that Roberts would join the majority. Told you. All right, can you pause for just a second? You're excited about this, too. You got five, six kids?
Yeah, we got five.
You got five. Roe and Casey are over freaking ruled. Yeah. Yeah. Yes! Woo! Oh, folks, I'm getting goosebumps.
It's the Feast of the Sacred Heart, so makes me.
That's what I said this morning.
The Vandeans win today.
Dude, you're talking. I'll show you my Vendée flag. Hey, everyone, let's stop for just a moment.
113 pages long.
Told you it would be over 150.
I just put the link, the PDF, in the chat room for everyone to view.
Now, for all of you doubting King Duders out there, do not mess with us, Lebowski. When I tell you that I asked the Mother of God a question and said, I'm going to go say this, what do you think? And I don't get, because she always, I'll spill a cup of coffee or something stupid, and I'll go like, all right, I get it, Mother, I get it. When I asked her this morning, is it today, I got bupkis. I got silence, which to me, you know what I got? I got the Trinity in the sky. We got the beautiful quarter moon, and if you look at the quarter moon, I can't tell which planet it is. It's either Saturn, Mars, and Jupiter. You get them, you'll see them in a perfect line. It's a 45-degree arc off the sky. What is it, Justin? There's five planets.
Well, I saw
the planets in a line because they're always in a line if you look closely. But it's kind of misty this morning. I went when I asked the question on my way, praying my rosary. I look up, boom, there's the five. I can only see three. I see the three planets. To me, that's the Trinity, and I go, done deal. I come in here, and all you doubting Thomases, come on, TKD. The Supreme Court always lets us down. Schaefer wins. No, Schaefer doesn't win today. And did I not tell you, perfect day, St. John the Baptist is executed, why? For marital fidelity, for the fidelity to the sacrament, it wasn't a sacrament then as our Lord made it, for fidelity to the sacrament of marriage. Because Herod had a harem, and St. John the Baptist went, no, you can't do that. And, of course, the harlot and the harlot's daughter, the thruple there, had his head cut off. To reiterate the big news here today, folks, just as I predicted to you and as I told you, Justice Samuel Alito's opinion, 213 pages long, Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood are gone for ever.
There's also two quotes in there. It says there's nothing inside the Constitution that explicitly says abortion, and that it's time to return the power, heed the Constitution and return the power to the people.
And just as I said, I bet you if you read that decision, they're going to make the case of history. They're going to say pre-Constitution, was there any incidents or any law in colonial America that legalized the quickening or the murder of the soon-to-be-born? They're going to conclude no. From the time of ratification in 1789 or 1788 all the way to 1868 when the 14th Amendment was ratified, is there any indication history is going to say no? Then they're going to look at, okay, post-14th Amendment, because Roe is based on the 14th Amendment. Post-14th Amendment, is there any incidents or history? And then they're going to conclude no. And they're going to say the history and tradition of the United States is the murder of the soon-to-be-born has never been illegal in any state. We therefore conclude historically and traditionally that abortion is not the law of the land in the United States.
And it looks like that's going to be the last opinion of the day. That would make two for today.
So, two for today. Let's all stop and Ross, join us. And all of you at home. I told you people, the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart. I told you this morning, do not come at me with your cynicism. The consecration was done. The first and one major error of Russia was abortion. Became legal under Lenin and the Bolsheviks, or two parties, Mensheviks, Bolsheviks, came legal under the Bolsheviks in Russia. It was legal to murder babies. The state actually sanctioned it. Okay? This is an era of Russia that has been undone. Take your little pity party for one. Take you and Puddles and your pity party for one, and go take the next train to Clarksville. Because it happened after the consecration of Russia. It's on. All right? The end is on. So what I want to do now, Maggie, all of you listening, this is, of course, this is God's doing. The handmaiden, what does she say? When the angel asks the question, he goes, well, I don't know, man. And the angel says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And what does Our Lady say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The handmaid of the Lord in the century or the millennia of Mary brought this about. So join me, Ross, Maggie. Let's say a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tuum mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for
our
us.
Our Lady of Walsingham, our Lady of Prompt Succor, hasten to help us. In the name of the Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Bro, you're on a Free Farm Friday when Roe versus Wade gets overturned. You're in the history books.
Have him back on.
Yeah, you're invited every Friday from now on.
Now and really do an interview.
Oh my goodness. This, I don't know, speechless. I'm sorry.
This is a stunning, stunning, stunning day. All right. A little bit more on Fogo. Where can people find out? I know you're on your wife's on Instagram. You guys have so much on Instagram. What is the Instagram address? What are they looking for if they're on Instagram? So, because I know you told me you're just a humble farmer, so you probably don't have a big vanglorious website. But if someone wanted to buy ducks, do you guys ship anywhere? Are they available at any retail centers anywhere? Any small stores in the New Orleans or Covington area? Or somebody just drive out to bush and go pick one up.
Sure. So during the main season for foie gras, which is October to mid-April, Dornex will carry some of our goods as well as Equistapaces. And then, of course, we're at the Covington Farmers Market and the Crescent City Farmers Market as well during the week. So Covington on Saturday and Crescent City Farmers Market on Thursdays. We do have a website, backwaterfoiegras.com.
You're going to have to spell that. That's backwater, FOIEGRAS.com.
Yes, and what can be your saving grace is just type in backwaterduckfarm.com, and you'll get there.
Okay, because I invited Ross, we're going to get to Roe just a second here. Don't tune out. We're coming right back to it. But quickly, tell the folks just a little bit, because one of the things that we try to do here on Free Farm Friday and our Back to the Land movement here.
Yes.
And we want to talk about these things. You guys took an old A-frame classic American barn and turned it into your house.
Well, what was beautiful is it was built and overbuilt by the previous owner. And it'll probably be there another 100 years at least. But it is kind of a modern concept of the old German Hallenhaus, which is the peasant farmers would live at one end or above the animals. So we live in the top of the barn there. It's called, today you'd call it a barn dominium. And
barn dominium.
And that's where we live. So it's close to work.
Yeah.
The commute is short.
Your commute is very short.
Very short commute.
I hope to experience that sometime soon. Now, and a final question here. Tell people about the process, like our friend from Farmstead Meat Smith, you have a Farmstead too. Right. You're processing all your own. I mean, there's not a guy. You're not throwing all the ducks in a trailer and hauling them somewhere. No. You and your wife are actually, or whoever is actually doing the processing on site. Correct.
Correct. Yes. One of the blessings of modern bureaucratic government systems is that there's no one around that wants to process waterfowl. So I do it all. And we have one employee now who helps. So, usually Tuesdays and Wednesdays we're in the slaughter room, and then we package and we deliver on Thursdays.
I'm going to have to cut it short here because we're going to want to talk
big about news.
It is big news, but before you go, Maggie, do you have a bag of Beast and Butt Rub and Acadiana steak seasoning? I tell you, I'm an amateur. We're moving to Southwest Louisiana, Longville. We're going to start with 2 acres. We have her family gave us 2 acres. And the new Walsingham West studio that we're going to build is going to have a TV studio with a kitchen stadium, a Catholic kitchen stadium in it.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to do shows. You can bring the whole family. Y'all just jump in the van and make your trip because we have a spare room. It's called the St. Pio Suite. So y'all can stay in the St. Pio Suite and you and I can do a show. We'll cook some duck.
Hey, I'm going to bring you a duck on Sunday, all right?
All right.
Completely deboned, Jacques Pepin style. You can stuff it and roast it. It'll be great.
Are you kidding? Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, this process of deboning ducks, again, folks, Roe versus Wade is no more. Casey versus Planned Parenthood is no more. What?
It's deboned.
It's deboned. It's debunked. It's deboned. 253-page opinion from Samuel Alito. So the draft version that we saw, I bet you it's going to conform to exactly what I said. This will be a year and a half, 2 years before we actually do this. But we will share recipes twixt now and then.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right, Ross McKnight, I want to thank you for...
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a great day to go celebrate, bro. And, hey...
I'm going to. I'm leaving here, and I'm going to eat something.
Yeah, all of you people that were, well, you know, it's St. Paul's attention, you know, you can't eat it, it's not a feast day today, and it's not this and that and the other. I don't care. I'm having filet mignon for lunch, and a T-bone. I'm having a porterhouse for freaking dinner.
I think I'll have a breast chicken.
A breast chicken, there you go.
Blue-footed.
All right, Ross, thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you. Hey, man, you're free to hang around. Maggie's got some party. We have some parting gifts for you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, folks, we appreciate you. And that's going to wrap up Free Farm Friday.